Go behind the wheel and under the hood on everything automotive with high-speed stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Scott Benjamin, the auto editor at HowStuffWorks. I'm here with Ben.
It's going pretty well, Scott.
Good, good. Hey, Ben, normally I don't start the podcast, but I'm so excited to get into today's topic that I think I just wanted to jump right in. We're going to talk about pace cars today.
Pace cars, you mean racing, I assume.
Pace cars that, lead races.
You know what? I have always heard about these, but what exactly are they?
Well, simple. I mean, pace cars are, and you probably can guess this just by watching any race you could see. They lead the pack. They pace the field. So at the beginning of the race, they make everybody line up behind them in the proper order. They keep the field at a certain speed. You know, it might be 80 miles an hour. It might be 90 miles an hour, whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
They keep everybody in line. At the right moment, they pull off the track, and they take the final turn, and it's green flag, and they go.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay. It serves a practical purpose, though, right?
Very practical purpose. Yeah, it's extremely practical. It keeps everybody in line because it forces everybody to remain at a certain, starting point, I guess.
Okay.
It keeps everybody equal. They're the ones who just, someone in the pace car is the one who's, looking back and making sure everybody's in the right position. There are other race officials that help with this as well, spotters. But they keep everybody in line. Pace car has a very important job.
Okay, so it's not just a ceremonial thing like a first pitch in baseball.
It is, but it also is very practical. It's not strictly ceremonial, but uh-huh. It has become ceremonial in a way, in that manufacturers are very proud of their pace cars that they put out there, and they're loaded with advertisements and celebrity drivers, and we'll talk about all this later, but it's still very ceremonious as well as being practical during their actual race. Beforehand, pace cars may participate in parades. They may go to local dealerships, and the driver may sign autographs. They may, it can be used in other ways as well.
Yeah, it already sounds like it's a lot more multi-purposed than I originally thought.
Yeah, and it's not only just the start of the race. They also come out during caution periods.
Yeah.
And they keep everybody at the appropriate pace, and they keep everybody slow until the racing can resume. So they serve a real purpose, and it's safety.
There, I know that you love my completely incorrect comparisons, but it sounds like they're the hall monitor of the racetrack.
You know what? That's a pretty good one.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
a hall monitor. Keeps everybody right in line, and no one's allowed to pass. You can't pass the pace car.
Uh-huh.
A lot of rules that go with the pace car as well. So, you're right.
Well, we'll see if we can, to make up for that accidentally correct one, we'll see if we can work in something absurd a little bit later.
I'm hoping you do.
Thanks, man. I'm hoping maybe you'll do it as well. Maybe we'll all have our anecdotes.
I think I always say something absurd, but we'll
hey,
see.
That's why we're here.
Yeah.
Who's driving these things, though? You said?
Yeah, that's kind of crazy because there's this wide variety of people that you'll find driving pace cars. You'll find heads of industry, supermodels, celebrities, athletes, local dealers. You'll find people that are involved in the actual building of the vehicles, the designers, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just this huge, vast, variety of people that, you wouldn't expect to see a supermodel behind the wheel of a pace car, but you would. And then the next year it may be, the chairman of Ford, or it may be, I think Lance Armstrong just recently drove one of these. So he's what, a bicycle rider?
Yeah. Yep. Definitely.
I said bicycle. He's a bicycle rider. I don't know what the term is. Even
cyclist.
Okay. Professional cyclist, right?
Yeah. I'm let's go with that.
Yeah, sure. So you'll find, celebrities, actors, actresses driving these things. It's just a big mix of people. It's whoever they invite.
Do politicians ever drive them, you think?
You know what? I'm sure they probably have. I mean, I don't see why they would be excluded from that group. But
sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Probably the mayor of a place or a governor might.
Oh, I'm sure. If they're up for it, I'm sure that they've been invited and, accepted.
And this is something people are invited to do.
Yeah, that's right. It's a big honor to be chosen to drive the pace car for a certain event. And if you're talking about something like, the Daytona 500 or the Indianapolis 500, these iconic races, that's a big deal. It really is.
So it seems, now you have to pardon me here, Scott, it seems a little bit strange that pace cars do have a practical function that is required for the race, but it sounds like almost anybody prestigious is allowed to drive them. Is there any training? I mean, what do these people do when they're driving this car?
That's a pretty good question, Ben. They do have training, but it's either a matter of weeks or a week ahead of the race, so they can get the feel for the car. I'm sure that depends on a celebrity schedule or whatever, you know, they can get them out there. But they actually have them do several test laps. They tell them there's a lot that goes into this. They have to maintain a certain speed. I mean, you can't have somebody that's going to, you know, let off the accelerator in the corner and have a bunch of, there'll be a pileup behind you. And, you know, because this is another thing. Even though you're watching this and it looks relatively slow and that pace car's in front of them, mm-hmm. you got to remember that they're going 80 or 90 miles per hour. So you're talking about, like, you know, the top speed that you're traveling on the highway. They're doing that on the race course. It just appears slow because in a moment they're going to be going 200 or 220 or 240 or whatever it is. So it's deceptive in that way, but they are really traveling fast. And, you know, maybe it's 100 miles an hour. I don't know. Uh-huh. I bet towards the end that's what they're doing as they pull off. So there's a lot of training that goes into it because you can't just get behind the wheel of a car and expect to be able to drive it at 100 miles per hour on a track. Mm-hmm. It's not as easy as it sounds. It's really difficult. You have to be able to find the right groove and the right, you know, you're going to end up in the wall if you don't know what you're doing.
Now, we've talked a little bit about what they actually do in setting the speed for the race, setting the pace, if you will, and keeping everyone in their proper position. We've also talked about how they come out when there's a caution to prevent people from zooming around at 200 plus when you have to get, you know, maybe if there's an accident or if there's something.
Debris on the track,
sure. Yeah. And what I would have to ask is, how do they actually get out onto the track after the race has begun?
Usually it's just there's an access road at the end of the pit road. They park on the pit road and they exit that way. So, you know, the vehicles come around under caution and, you know, the pace car pulls out when necessary and then the lead car follows in right behind them.
Okay.
So it's actually a little more simple than you think. They don't have to be at every different point on the track at one time. There's one point where it pulls out. So, you know, it's relatively easy.
Okay. All right. It does sound relatively easy.
And you know
easy.
What? I got one thing I got to tell you about this because I just saw this weekend.
What?
I saw a video clip online that's pretty disturbing. It was a pace car in France at the World... let me see. Hang on a second. I got it here. It was the World Touring Car Championship, and it was a Chevy Cruze. Okay, this is the pace car. So the Chevrolet is obviously sponsoring the race or something like that.
Sure.
The Chevy Cruze is the pace car. Caution goes out. You know, there's some kind of action on the track. The pace car pulls out, cuts at a real severe angle right across the track, and just takes out a BMW that's coming not at full speed, but pretty fast enough that the BMW lost a wheel. The driver's side door for the pace car flew open. You know, both vehicles ended up skidding off to the side. It was a big mess, and you know, it's pretty rare that you see that happen.
Holy crap.
I know, he just pulled it. It was almost like he didn't even look, but I'm sure he did. It was probably, you know, the vehicle came up too fast behind him. He looked, didn't see it. And then it was there.
He obviously thought he was driving on a regular street.
Yeah, that's right.
Sounds like.
And I tell you, you know, it's funny because right after that, the crew chief for the BMW team came over, had some coarse words to say to the race official, and then was storming back. You know, they were showing, it was a pretty dramatic clip, really. I mean, when you see it, it's pretty solid hit.
I'm going to tune into it. Did this guy who was driving the pace car, you say he's a race official?
He's a pace car driver. They call it safety car, pace car.
Okay,
safety car as well.
So pace cars are in pretty much every professional race.
Yes.
It's on a closed track, because they couldn't do it on a...
like a rally course,
right,
or something like
that.
No, that doesn't even come into effect in a rally course because they don't have anything like that. You know, the car in front of you could fly off the edge of the mountain and you continue on. It's not the same as on a closed course where you're you know, in a mile and a half you're going to come back around and gather up all that debris or drive through that oil, the same oil slick. It's not the same thing.
Okay.
So they don't have pace cars in rally events.
But that guy, man, I would it seems at the very least ironic that the safety car would cause an accident.
Yeah.
Did you saw this BMW after it got smacked, right?
I did.
You think they could drive it?
No. It was out. It was, you know, that ended the day for him, I'm sure.
Oh, that guy is so fired.
Yeah. Yeah, he's done.
Oh, man.
But who knows? I mean, it could have been some celebrity or some, you know, local sportscaster or whatever driving that car. You just don't know who was behind the wheel. I didn't understand the language.
For all we know, it could have been, you know, an American celebrity.
Oh, the broadcast was in French. I couldn't understand it. Yeah. So I didn't know who was driving, who was at fault there. Well, but that's not the only one. There's another one that's even more dramatic. And, you know, this is another one that you can find online if you search YouTube or something like that.
Uh-huh.
You know, these are pretty rare. It doesn't really happen all that often.
Oh, you're reading my mind. You know that was the next question.
Was it really? Okay. Yeah. This one happened way back in 1971. And this is the Indianapolis 500. And honestly, check this one out, this clip. You'll be shocked when you see it.
All right.
Here's what happened. A local Dodge dealer, his name is Eldon Palmer. And I think he still is a dealer there in Indianapolis.
Uh-huh.
So it has a happy ending, I'll tell you that right up front. So no one died.
Mm-hmm.
Pacing the Indianapolis 500 in 1971, he's in a Dodge Challenger, I think it was. Challenger convertible, which is also kind of unique because now you just don't see that anymore. You don't see many pace car convertibles, but he's in a 1971 Dodge Challenger convertible, and the race starts. So he pulls off in the fourth turn, and he comes down the pit road just flying as fast. You know, he's going as fast as he was leading the pack, right? So the footage is that you see the start of the race. Most cameras are following that. In the lower right-hand corner of the screen, you see the pace car flying down pit road, and it's not slowing down.
Oh, no.
It hasn't slowed down. Well, it turns out he had placed during the practice runs that we just talked, you know, we talked about practice.
Yeah.
He decided that he would place a cone, a safety cone or some type of traffic cone, in an area where he could see it and it wasn't in the way, and he would know that's where I need to begin to slow down, because he didn't want to slow down too early because he's still out on the track. He didn't want to slow down too late.
Uh-huh.
So he knew right where he needed to start slowing down. Well, someone moved the cone.
Whoops.
And he was looking for this visual indicator of where to stop, right? So he goes flying past the camera stand, and, I mean, really fast. And this car's got four people in it. And he goes flying past him, realizes too late, loses control of the car, and skids sideways into a temporary grandstand that was set up at the end of pit road for photographers to shoot the beginning of the race.
Oh.
So there's all this happening, Ben. The photographers are looking at the race, which is just to the left of where he's coming from. You know, like he's coming straight at them.
Oh, no.
He slides. They slam sideways into the thing. The grandstands dump out onto the pavement. And these guys are up on top of something. It's kind of like a movable thing. It's on a truck or a big scaffolding. Uh-huh. They fall onto the car, onto the ground. There's 20 some photographers injured. Into the car, on top of the people that are driving. It was just a big mess.
But holy crap.
If you watch the video clip, you'll be astonished that no one died during this.
Okay, so
it's that dramatic. It's
so
really
we can
tough.
Say this pandemonium was funny now because no one died.
Now, I guess. It's still, when you look at it, you'll probably hold your breath.
I'll think somebody died when I watch it.
It's really severe. Yeah, it is.
1971.
And 1971, and you know who's in the car? Not only was the driver... Okay, the driver is that Eldon Palmer, driver.
Mr. Palmer.
John Glenn, the astronaut, was riding with him.
Oh, man.
Because, you know, he's a celebrity at the time, mm-hmm. National celebrity. And Tony Hallman, whose family owns the Indianapolis 500 track.
Uh-huh.
And there's just some other sportscasters. There's four people in there as well.
Oh, poor Mr. Palmer.
And he'll never live it down.
Oh, man. Yeah, it would be a tough one.
Yeah,
it would be a tough one.
If you Google his name, that's what comes up, is that he wrecked the pace car at the 1971 Indianapolis 500.
Oh, poor guy.
It's not, you know, his dealership or anything like that. Well, it's this event.
At least John Glenn is used to rough rides, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
That's about. I'm really trying to find something positive to say.
Oh, you know, there's nothing there. It's just, I'm just glad no one died.
Yeah. Okay. There we go.
Yeah.
That's a lot better.
Yeah.
I was reaching on that astronaut comment.
Yeah.
So what it sounds like you're saying is these accidents are pretty rare, but when they do happen, they're almost always astonishing.
Yeah. Well,
surprises.
Yeah. They're. It is a surprise because that's a safety car, and there's somebody who's trained to do what they're doing, and mm-hmm. just like the racers, you know, but and everybody's watching out for everybody else. It's just, you know, these things happen. You've got fast car, you know, typically the pace car's coming out at a much slower rate than the race cars are. I'm sure that there's a lot more accidents than these two that I'm talking about. That probably happens all the time. I'm sure that pace cars get rear-ended often.
Oh, yeah.
I would think.
Right.
Because, I mean, you know, you're pulling out into traffic that's going, you know, 180 miles an hour or whatever it is. Mm. They don't know that the pace car is out there and it's going 75.
So, okay, that's a really good point for us to go into what makes a good or bad pace car. Because when we talk about the accidents, it sounds as though at least the two doozies we mentioned just a minute ago are due to human error.
Mm-hmm.
But is there something intrinsic about a pace car that makes it a good pace car or a bad pace car?
Well, they need to be really big, and they have to be very flat in the front, so they're not very aerodynamic. I'm kidding, Ben.
Okay.
No, they have to be like, no, you're looking at me like, yeah, that's right. No, they have to be sports cars or something that's, you know, pretty slick. Now, the exception to this is that if you've got a NASCAR truck event, you're going to probably have a NASCAR, or I'm sorry, you're going to have a truck as your pace vehicle. So it's kind of matched that way. That doesn't really jive for the rest of the stuff,
uh-huh.
but for a truck event, typically they have a truck pace car as well.
Oh, and our listeners don't know this, but you've actually done more than just been inside of a pace car.
Yeah.
You've driven a pace truck, right?
Yeah, one time. Yeah, I was covering a NASCAR truck race
mm-hmm.
in Homestead, Florida.
And gotten that spectacular wreck, huh?
No, spectacular wreck, thank goodness. But we were at a dealership doing some media stuff ahead of time, you know, little autograph signings and that type of stuff, you know, with mm-hmm. drivers. And I was with the Chrysler video crew. And we were also going to cover the race. And we had become good friends with the dealer. And he had the pace car for the event there at his dealership. And it was time to deliver it to the track. And he asked me if I wanted to do it. And, of course, I jumped at the opportunity.
Yeah.
And, it wasn't that far or anything. And I didn't drive, you know, super fast or anything. But, you know, it was fun to drive to the track with, you know, the light bar on top, you mm-hmm. know, going and, you know, actually driving to the track and everybody kind of, you know, parting the way to let me through. It was fun. It was really cool.
You would do it again?
It's a good experience. If you ever get a chance to drive a pace car, do it. And you know what? You can drive a pace car. But maybe not the one that actually paced the event.
Okay. Wait. No. You're lying. Are you serious?
Yeah.
People can buy these things?
You can buy pace cars. And you've probably seen a few around. You'll see a lot of Corvette pace cars, a lot of Camaro pace cars, things like that, sports cars. Cars that have been pace cars in the past for, you know, the Daytona 500, the Indianapolis 500. We like to hit on those big races, but
right. There's
a lot more happening.
Sure.
Every race has a pace car, and they'll, you know, the manufacturer will make limited editions of pace cars for them that are, you know, for sale to the public. They'll deliver them to certain dealers. Maybe each dealer gets one, or, you know, select dealers win a competition and get to sell
this vehicle.
Really, there's not much more to them than... Usually, there's not much more to them than a snazzy paint job and a few decals and maybe an interior treatment that has, you know, logos embroidered into the seat back or something.
Oh, so it's more cosmetic?
It's mostly cosmetic. There are some cases where, you know, there's a little bit of horsepower increase for that package, or maybe an exhaust package or something like that, or possibly lowered, you know, wheel mm-hmm. package. But really, it's not anything dramatic. It's not like a real race car or anything.
It's not like a police car or the car of tomorrow.
No, it's not completely redone. It's not gutted or anything like that. It's just it's mostly cosmetic.
Okay.
But you can buy pace cars. I mean, check them out. You'll be able to find a lot of Camaros and a lot of Corvettes are big ones as well.
That's pretty. That
Even
is pretty cool.
Fieros were there was a Fiero pace car for the Indianapolis 500 when the Fiero first came out.
I think
it was 1984.
Yeah, okay.
I'm searching the recesses of my
mid-80s.
Memory. But I was in Indianapolis when that came out, and I lived there at the time. Mm. And my dad happened to work for ABC. He was working at the track. And we got to me, I tell you, when that first Fiero came out, it's funny to look back at it now because it doesn't seem like much of a car, but it was like something from space. It was unbelievable. You couldn't believe this car, how cool it was,
uh-huh.
this Fiero pace car. So it's funny when you look back and decide what, or you know, kind of think of what was cool back then, and mm-hmm. now I don't know. I don't think I'd buy one now.
Well, I mean, not now, sure.
No,
but
at the time it was the, you know, the peak. It was the the top end.
It was snazzy.
Yeah,
actually, I had a conversation with with my dad about some of the cars he bought in the past, and you would be surprised how closely it paralleled this conversation we're having now. There was a lot of, why on earth would you buy that thing?
And I'm not... An Edsel or something like that?
You know what? He had something very much like it in terms of reputation, so I don't want to be derogatory.
Was it a Pinto?
You know what?
Was it an AMC Pacer?
I can neither confirm nor deny your statement.
Was it
Scott.
A Gremlin? I'll just keep guessing all day.
You're getting you've actually hit more than one. He's got a bad history.
More than one?
I know, man. Oh, I know. Man. I know.
Oh, well, at the time, like we said, though, at the time, you don't know that until you have hindsight, you know.
Speaking of hindsight, let's look back. You like this segue? Let's look back on the pace car stuff. I think you pretty much covered it. You've got me.
Yeah.
I feel like I could, I don't know, I probably couldn't drive one. I'd be one of those guys who got in the wreck. But
I think you could, because, I mean, you go through a week of training ahead of time or something like that.
Uh-huh.
I think you could do it.
More accessible than they think. So if our listeners are interested, maybe they could even write in and see, at a local race and see what they need to do to possibly drive a pace car.
I guess so. I don't know how that works really, but maybe that's possible. And of course, Ben, you're available. So if anybody listening, wants Ben to pace their event,
oh please,
please call in, send us an email.
Both of us would go. They seat four.
At the drop of a hat,
Scott. You know what? I really appreciate. You bringing us in. I could tell you were excited. You want to take us out?
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to leave it to you because I'm left flat-footed here without all my information in front of me, so take it away.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll take it away. Guys, as always, thanks for tuning in and giving us a listen. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you'd like to learn more about pace cars, please check out the website. If you have any ideas for a future episode, please send us an email at highspeedstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. And be sure to check out the High Speed Stuff blog on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage.